Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
So we just got done doing something with David Sampson here, and every damn week that guy says a handful of things that you're just not hearing anywhere else. And I wanted to see what kind of reaction I got from Billy and Chris and Tony and Roy on this story, because I was talking about how one of the most impressive things I've ever seen on a baseball field. First of all, there's Kevin Mitchell running toward the foul line in the outfield and catching a foul ball with his bare incorrect hand. It was a terrible play and a great play. He was not very good at defense, but I don't understand how he managed to catch a baseball with his bare hand, a fly ball, while, you know, at full speed. But another thing I saw, and I wonder if you guys saw this. Billy, do you remember? Were you too young to remember the specifics of the way the at-bat went? Where Roger Clemens is facing Miguel Cabrera, and Miguel Cabrera is 20 years old, and it is a World Series, and he goes opposite field on Roger Clemens in a ballpark where nobody at the time went opposite field after being brushed back by Roger Clemens. Roger Clemens brushed him back, and then he hit a home run. It's one of the most impressive things I've ever seen a baseball player do.
Oppo Boppo.
That is correct, Stugatz. Yeah. Also useless. Yeah. So, Billy, you remember what about what I just described?
I remember that. That's what happened. He was brushed back, and then he hit an opposite field home run. And then that con man cheater, Roger Clemens, had everybody giving him a standing ovation, myself included, because it was supposed to be his last game. And then we found out he cheated baseball, and then he came back for the Astros, and then he pretend retired again, and then he was here, and he was there, and that guy just needed constant attention. And then I think there was needles involved inside a soda can. And there was a guy named something with an M that was his like supplier. I remember all kinds of things about that Roger Clemens scoundrel who had us standing. And guess what, Roger Clemens? We had the last laugh on your fake last game because Alex Gonzalez hit a walk-off home run to beat you and your stupid Yankees. Do I remember that game? Yes, I remember.
Did you just drop the mic? You threw the mic down. You dropped the mic.
Glad you got it out, though. I mean,
Billy, you stood for that? You gave him a standing ovation? I was looking at everybody like, you sit down right now. I'm not standing up. This is a World Series game.
Even Trader Jack was out there tipping the cap across the dugout to the other
team.
Not
Chris Cody.
Coach was there touching his chest, giving him one of these. Roger Clemens, I love you so much. Birds of a feather, huh? Pudge and Roger Clemens.
Not 16-year-old Chris Cody. He had his hands on his hip judging all
Isn't that the game where you were walking around the concourse because you thought that somehow you were impacting the result of the game, so you missed the end of the game?
The Alex Gonzalez home run game? Yes, that was because of me. For people that don't know, they had gone like three or four innings, like up, three down, and I was like, something needs to change. Hey, Mom, I'm going up to the concourse. I'm going to watch this half inning from up there. First at bat, Alex Gonzalez, home run. I come running back to my seat feeling like I'm the reason that we just hit this home run. You can't say that I'm not. You cannot say with a fact that it was not because I moved.
No argument. You deserve a ring. I mean, to be honest with you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Welcome.
This being the time that Stugatz needs to be honest with you. Odd time to choose.
I'm proud of him. I mean, he did what he had to do.
Honest with you. So the question that I want to ask you guys, because I was not expecting that avalanche, but before I get to the question, Roy, what do you remember about the at-bat that I am specifically talking about?
Yeah, I remember you got brushed back. I can remember you went out of batter's box, kind of.
Yeah, shook it off.
Shook it off. And he went back in, and then he went opposite field. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Goosebumps.
Chris got goosebumps just now talking about it. Tony, do you have any idea what we're talking about, or were you too young at the time?
I mean, I was probably too young to really understand what was going on in a baseball setting. I was, that was 2003. I was like 11, 12 years old.
You didn't understand baseball at 11? What the hell's wrong with you, man?
Well, the history of baseball. Most people's baseball careers are wrapping up.
You don't know that someone's necessarily great. You have your favorites, but you're not analyzing baseball that way.
Exactly. And that was my issue. I wasn't understanding, like, oh, we brushed him back here. Let's see if he, you know, what's the next play going to be?
All right.
Like, I wasn't really.
You petered out again. Okay, this is 2 days in a row. I'm sorry, I cut you off. That one was my fault. Chris, why are you celebrating the petering out of Anthony?
Because I just love it, man. I love when everyone's petering it out together. It's not just me. Let's all peter. Let's peter together.
All right, but this is the part of the story I'm going to tell you guys that David Sampson told us that I believe that you're going to find as wonderful and strange and funny as Mike Ryan and I found. Because Tony just said, well, I was too young to understand. And in the story that we're telling, there was someone else who was too young to understand. Miguel Cabrera, when he did that, had no idea who Roger Clemens was.
No way. Come on.
Didn't know.
The Rocket.
Did not. All you've given me is Oppo Boppo and the Rocket this segment.
You haven't directed any questions at me.
Are you not ashamed of how lazy you've gotten at this?
Nope.
How about that, though, Billy? Do you find that stunning? Because I couldn't believe, even understanding like the cultural differences, even understanding that you might not grow up, you know, with a television or watching Major League Baseball, I couldn't believe that Cabrera didn't know who Roger Clemens was when facing him.
Surprising you didn't see the clips of Roger Clemens throwing bats at Mike Piazza and roid rage, allegedly. Rocket, please, get out of here.
Get it all out. You know, Billy, let's do this,
seriously,
please. I'm sorry.
I'm over this praising these false idols, Roger Clemens. Don't get me started on him.
Cabrera was probably also confused by the standing ovation if he had no idea who he was. Like, why the hell?
Right, what are they doing with this guy?
I don't. This is the one time, Billy, that when you say don't even get me started on that guy. Usually I take your advice because I don't want to get
remember
you
that All-Star game when he came in Houston. It was supposed to be this big thing, and he gave up the cycle in the first inning. What a disaster. Hated that guy. And then when I finally wanted him to do well in the All-Star game, because the National League, obviously I root for them because the Marlins are in the NL. They lose every single All-Star game essentially in my entire lifetime. And I guess in the 70s, 80s, whenever it was a good time to root for the NL, but not in my lifetime, friends.
I don't want to get you started. I don't want to get you started, but it appears that I have already gotten you started. Like,
did you just drop a friends?
I think I did. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. Roger Clemens, him, and Barry Bonds. Oh, God, what a horrific postseason for the integrity of the game the Marlins had to go through, huh? Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens. Who else did they play? Oh, Sammy Sosa, remember him? What a delight he was.
Our cheaters beat their cheaters. Pudge Rodriguez lost 40 pounds.
Billy doesn't think our guys were cheating. That's the point, though.
Maybe. Pudge, something was up with Pudge, I guess. But he wasn't one of us. He was here a cup of coffee.
A rental.
A mercenary. There it is. An expendable. He was an expendable. He was a superhero. And then he ends up one offseason losing 40 pounds and saying he just stopped eating fast food.
Yeah, you know what else? He ended up losing the World Series, bum. God, I was so happy when the Tigers lost that World Series. That was so great. Loser. Go enjoy your statue of yourself.
Wait a minute. Why do you hate? He does have
I don't know, Dan. I don't know. I'm in a mood today, it appears.
He does have a statue of himself in the yard. It is such a great word association, though. It is. Like, do you guys do this? I bet you Roy does this. Roy, when I do word association with Joey Porter, is there any specific, like, one thing that comes to mind? The way that Pudge, when you think of Pudge, you get, you know, statue in his yard of himself as a catcher, big bronze, just a giant ornate statue of himself.
Joey Porter? Yeah. No, a tiny horse.
That's right.
Yes.
That's exactly right. And some of the people here aren't going to know what we're talking about, but Joey Porter's dog got out of the house, and this is exactly how it should work with Joey Porter, and killed the neighbor's miniature horse. And it's exactly, thank you, Roy, for being there for me. And it's just a weird association where Joey Porter, there are things in his life that he did as a career that made him famous. And I just think of his damn dog running next door and what that conversation must have been like with the neighbor. Like, how the hell do you apologize for that? You have a miniature horseback here that's been killed by my dog.
Has anyone seen the Pudge statue? What does it look like? Because I feel like he got the statue prematurely. Because if I was Pudge and I was getting a statue of myself, I'd get a statue of myself holding the ball at the end of the NLDS when he made the play at the plate that Conine threw it to him. Remember? They were like, oh, is Conine going to catch it? Bounce, boom, perfect throw home. And then JT Snow bashes into him. And guess what? Snow melted. End of season. There's Pudge holding the ball. Everybody's dogpiling on top of him. He's holding up. He's like, I got the bleeping ball right here. Ah! That's the statue that I would have gotten. Pudge, I love that guy. That,
except, now you love him, huh?
Except that with the Tigers, he didn't love him. I enjoyed your sentence there. Snow melted. You felt,
I saw
vigor in you. Why did you hate those Detroit Tigers so much? Just because
Cabrera? Pudge left the Marlins to go to the Tigers. That's how this works. If you're on the team that I root for, I like you. If you leave and go to another team, I hate you, and I hope your team loses forever. That's how it works. Am I the only one? I can't be the only one that thinks like that.
Chris, do you get that? Is that you're not that kind
Everybody
of...
thinks like that. Here yeah, we go. Good. Oh, hoity-toity. Let's stand up and clap for Dwayne Wade every time he comes to town wearing another jersey. Whoops, I forgot. Heap Lifer. He never played for another team. And we have to cheer for everybody that ever played for any team that we were on whenever they go. Get out of here. You guys are all phony baloney frauds. You're lying to yourselves. You go home and you boo the hell out of these people when they leave your team like every rational person would do. Scream at your TV because they can hear you. You suck.
You did have another one of these pick-me-ups of affordable Coke, haven't you? You have you are revving, and I am like, this is not. You're not really a morning person, right? You're a bit of a just early. You seem a bit of a like your energy level gets better as the day goes on, but you have come out like a rodeo bull today. Like, what is
I don't
what?
Like giving myself labels, Dan. Sometimes I'm good in the morning, sometimes I'm good at night. Who knows? I'll tell you this much though about the Coke. I thought that Coke was ruined because it was in the freezer for so long.
Right.
Guess what? Still haven't gotten ice. It's been a couple days. And I found out that when you put the Coke in the fridge, it's slowly melting. But every time I pour out a little into a glass, I get little chunks of little Coke ice, which I think I may from now on, every time I go to the store, buy a bottle and just put it in one of those 12 things of ice cubes. Do they even have those anymore? But I'm going to start making Coke ice, and I'm going to put it in everything I drink.
How delightful is Coke ice, by the way? I've done it.
It's like a slushy. I don't like a slushy, but Coke ice has been so good.
You are so on fire right now that as a brief throwaway, you gave us what could be a topic for about 30 minutes, which is, do we still have those ice trays of 12 cubes? Is that something that still exists given technology, or did it die a painful, quiet death without people noticing?
Someone has to have the traditional freezer.
I'm not saying someone. I'm just saying, like, basically, if we've seen the death of the industry that is put the water in a tray and then put it in the freezer. Billy, are you pointing to yourself because you still have one of these?
That's right, Dano. I still have one. I got some after a hurricane one time because I did not lose power. I got power back very quickly. And I don't know if you know this, ice, hot commodity, strange sentence because it's a cold thing, but it's a hot commodity after storms. So they run out of the ice bags if you want ice bags. And I've told you guys before, I love a good ice bag in my fridge. So I got the little 12 pack ice cube makers. I got like two or three of those, and I was making my own ice for a little bit. It was awful because when you make your own ice, you have to kind of ration how many cubes you're going to put in each cup. So before there was like ice makers, or I discovered, hey, let me just go spend $1 at the store, get a bag of ice. I'd put in like 3 ice cubes and it's like, whoa, a quarter of my 12 cubes of ice that I made are gone. And then I need to wait like 6 hours for them to be ready again. So I need to slow down with how much ice I'm consuming. My dad, of course, also has one of those things. I hate when you fill those things up because I always play the dangerous game where you fill them up too much. And then you walk to the freezer and it's like you always end up spilling water. Your water everywhere.
There's nothing more gratifying than when you go in, you do the nice crack, and they just pop out perfectly.
sometimes you go in, you crack them too soon, and you realize, oh no, these things weren't ready yet. And you get little puddles with the frozen pieces of ice in there. Other times you crack them and you realize, oh no, there was some sort of structural issue with this ice and it broke in half. How am I going to get that other piece in there? Do I stick a knife? Then I'm going to cut my finger, get bloody ice. But when you crack the ice and just
doesn't it spill though? When you crack it and all the ice cubes come out, like don't you have to like use your belly almost to like, cause they come flying out of there. I feel like
the bread basket. No, you don't use the bread basket for the ice. If you do it properly, you can't fill it too much. Just the right level.
Gotcha. Put some of these questions on the poll, please. At Levitard Show. Is there anything more gratifying than cracking open a dozen ice cubes from the tray?
Is it shocking to anyone that Chris struggles to get the ice thing from the, well, this, from the sink to the freezer?
I identified with everything Chris was saying there. Also put on the poll, have you ever spilled water while taking the pathetic 12 cubes of liquid to the freezer?
Billy, have you ever done with the traditional ice trays? Have you done popsicles before where you flavor the ice, whoa, you put the stick in, you throw it in the freezer, and all of a sudden you have an orange popsicle? I mean, it's amazing. Oh, yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah, it's great.
And yes, they started selling different molds now, so you could mold different things in the ice cube if you want to. Now.
Have you guys ever frozen your urine?
Yes.
Yes, this morning.
Wait, so Chris, I want to come back to you. So frozen urine, you were saying?
No, pick it up there. We're just picking it up. This is the way. There it is. Just pick it up right there. Tell the people why the hell you dropped in the middle of all of that. Have you ever frozen your urine?
You know, you have to prepare for the unexpected, and you just never know when you're going to need it.
All right,
Roy, Roy has frozen his urine. I guarantee it.
What?
No, I didn't. I did not freeze my urine. No.
For urine.
Why?
Why would you freeze?
Under what circumstances would you need to freeze your urine? Like why? Why? And are you?
Why you ask?
Are you spilling?
Can you freeze urine? I don't know.
I'm sure you can, Chris. Yes.
It's like alcohol.
Yeah, you
for a rainy day. Yeah, I'm
sure. You can't freeze urine. It's not possible. Try it. Everybody listening, go home today. Well, you are home. You might be home. When you go home, pee in one of those things, put it in your freezer. Then tell your wife, little Levitard Show experiment.
This is the part that I don't get. You still haven't learned that when you do stuff like this, Dan's going to get you to do this.
Of course.
So, like, yeah, you're going to have to go get a Ziploc bag at some point in the next, you know,
Chris,
10
go
minutes,
pee in an ice tray, carry it to the freezer, see if it freezes.
What are you
right next to the steak?
I want to be clear on what you're alleging here. You are saying that urine, like vodka, if you put it in a freezer, the consistency of urine will not turn to yellow cubes. You're saying it will remain liquid. That can't be so.
Look it up.
I am.
Whoa. What about yellow snow?
Yo. I'm sorry. I feel like I've taken us.
I feel like your confidence has gotten away from you, and you have just, now you're just machine gun firing. You're a Rambo firing jokes in every direction. I freeze my urine. You don't know if it's real or not. I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. Does urine freeze? You're just like machine gun spraying the entire show.
It can safely be frozen and unfrozen 5 times.
Yep.
And then?
I guess it's unsafe.
You throw it away.
Wait a minute. What happens after the same? Does it stop freezing on the sixth? On the sixth time, it just stops. It won't freeze anymore. That's it. It's done.
I guess you lose whatever the whatever it has. I don't know what you would be
freezing.
Five freeze
limit. Oh, goodness. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, that was fun. Thank you for sharing it with us. I don't know what we just did other than talk about frozen urine for no good. For no good reason that I can discern at all. The football game yesterday, Stugatz, I found myself getting frustrated with the Steelers because it was Brock Osweiler ball. Everything was 4 yards, 5 yards. And there have been the last couple of games in the NFL, there have been a few bad beats here. if you are gambling on these games. What happened at the end of the Philadelphia-Seattle games, to God, so if you've got Seattle and you're up 23-9. And
I did have Seattle, Hail Mary.
Well, this is why, I really have such a hard time with that sport, because when I look at the line and I see Seahawks against Eagles, I simply don't understand how the Seahawks aren't going to cover that. They're not going to cover -6. So I'm watching the game, and the entire game, you're feeling pretty good about the fact that you've got the Seahawks -6. And then you see it start happening at the end. One of these ridiculous drives by a team that, I mean, Wentz has been terrible this year.
Really bad.
They go down the field, they throw it into the end zone, and then they didn't need the 2-point conversion. With 12 seconds left, they get, you know, they score a ridiculous touchdown. Yesterday, the same sort of thing happens where the Steelers, you're looking at this and like, Baltimore's got everyone out. Everyone's out. Steelers are -10.
You would think the Steelers would blow them out.
The Steelers keep getting into the red zone all game. Red zone, red zone, red zone. Field goals abound. Regardless, they're up 19-7. Robert Griffin is out. Like, Robert Griffin wasn't doing much for them offensively. They scored a touchdown somehow with a whole bunch of players out.
Trace McSorley was the quarterback.
That's correct. He comes into the game, and right before McSorley leads the drive that kills you if you have the Steelers, Roethlisberger drops back on 3rd-and-6, throws a perfect ball down the sideline, one of the few balls he actually threw down the field. Receiver just drops it in a way like none of us would have dropped it. It was just weird to see the receiver drop it. And, of course, Baltimore comes right down the field, Hollywood Brown, and you get McSorley to Hollywood Brown, and he runs into the end zone from a great distance. Minkah Fitzpatrick is getting all turned around, and you're like, you've got to be kidding me. How the hell did the Ravens end up covering in this game?
It was a 70-yard pass that the Ravens completed to get the backdoor cover if you took Baltimore in that game. I don't know. You and I talk about this stuff all the time. Like, how is that line that low? We don't know what we're watching. We don't know what we're talking about, and football's a really weird game.
Well, one of the things, you guys, I've seen that, Billy, you guys are now invested in what's going on with Chris Jericho because he returns again now.
Incredible.
So it's now a record-breaking run of 10 weeks, and the way he returned, Billy, the results, can you explain this to me? Because you have been topsy-turvy this weekend, caring about what a professional wrestler is picking in football games and the emotion, like what ended up happening with him and that game yesterday, and what ended up happening with Colin Cowherd and the Seattle game, because Cowherd was they were tied, is that right? Were they both 2-2?
No, Jericho ended up winning 3-2. Colin went 2-2-1 because of a he tied in the Seattle game. Here's a dirty little secret about Celebrity Prognosticator. I like the results as early as possible so that we have as much time as possible if we need to find a replacement or if we need to rebook the same person over and over again. Very rarely do we have a Monday night football game because that makes things very difficult in terms of booking the Celebrity Prognosticator for the week. It takes out a whole day. We had to wait until Wednesday this week to figure out if Jericho was coming back or not.
Right.
I think we're good. He's coming back. We may have some surprises in store. We'll see. But again, if we had handled this and if that damn Anthony Lynn would have done what he was supposed to do and just scored so that we could have gotten that win, not even a win. We just needed a cover there. Jericho would have won. Colin would have lost. We would have been sitting pretty at like 4 p.m. on Sunday. But instead, we have to wait until we're good. I'm fine.
So it's all about you, essentially. Well, why'd you have a backup plan?
Yes, it's all about me.
I understand that, but a backup plan in the event that Jericho loses.
Well, there's a backup plan, but the thing is, okay.
It's hard to get celebrities to call a radio show. Like,
it's not that it's hard. It's hard to tell. It's hard to tell them, hey, listen, maybe we need you this week. Right. And then for 10 straight weeks, be like, nah, you're good. Don't worry. We'll call you when we need you. So we have some people on the back burner, but this has gone on so long that I feel like that the people that we have on the back burner have gotten annoyed by the fact, like, nah, we're good. We're good. We'll talk to you soon. Don't worry about that.
So for 10 straight weeks, there's been some celebrity out there that you keep calling and telling him or her, I'm sorry, he returned
for another week? No, I had been after like 3 weeks. So I stopped calling them after like 3 weeks. And I'm like, I hope this works out, or I hope that we lose early so we can figure this out on Monday or Sunday night. because I'm not going to keep going and talking to Danny Trejo's manager and say, maybe we need him this week, maybe we don't.
Kind of want to get to Danny Trejo.
No, we want, we want Jericho to ride this into the sun. We want this to continue for the rest of time.
But, Billy, is Jericho even over 500? I mean, has he been great or has Colin been that bad? I don't know. Which is which?
On the season, Colin is 2 games under .500, and Jericho, I believe, if you give me a second, is like 5 games over.
Okay,
which is not that good.
Cowherd might come back. Cowherd might come back and beat us with a couple of weeks because right. He hasn't built any kind of lead.
I wish I was only 2 games under .500 this season. This season has been so tough to predict.
Okay, Colin is 28-30-2. Our celebrities overall pretty decent, 34-25-1, and Jericho is 25-19-1. So he's 6 games over right now.
Wow. Chris, since the sad sentence, okay, the very sad sentence of "Hey Mike, can you put a hundy on Nate Robinson for me?" I have had every single bet I have made blow up in my face. Let me explain this to you, okay? Because on Sunday, I decided to enjoy prop bets and everything else.
Oh, what and a Sunday.
It's a fun day.
I picked
Sunday fun day.
I picked 17 items.
Jesus, sound like Mike.
I lost 15 of them.
Wow.
And let me tell you what I had. I had 3 prop bets on Daniel Jones. He was going fine. He was sailing. He was going
fine. Over yards.
He was going to make all of the prop bets. He gets hurt, leaves the game, comes back in the game, has to leave the game again because he's still hurt. I had props on Dalvin Cook, leaves the game hurt. Every damn fourth and short went against me. I'm not kidding you when I tell you that I'm watching that. And I am, at one point, I just burst out laughing because the big play of the day was the Raiders. That's right, the Raiders.
That's your big
the,
play.
The Raiders, that's correct. No, it was an apocalypse, just an apocalypse. And has that ever happened to you, Chris, where a day is going so bad? Mike, I got to think, but Mike's had a day that this has happened.
It's happened to anyone who's gambled. But I'll tell you what, I bet, speaking of gambling, that you loved every second.
Well, what I'm saying is, the question I wanted to ask you and everyone else, have you ever been losing, put this on the poll, Guillermo, have you ever been losing so much at gambling that you genuinely burst out laughing? that it doesn't just hurt, it hurts so much that you can't help. I had my kick returner get hit in the helmet with a football. Like, it was, and if you watch that Raiders-Falcons game, I'm telling you, there were so many dumb things that the Raiders did. And I'm like, how did this team suddenly forget how to play football? They just went blow for blow with the Chiefs. The Falcons can't beat anybody. The Falcons lose every game in embarrassing fashion. Oh, look, pick 6. There's a Falcon dancing in the end zone.
43-6 Falcons. But you should have known that the Falcons have these weeks where they look like a Super Bowl champion.
I should have known what 0-16.
That they're going to have one of those weeks. I
should have known. That league, though, that it's just, it's the weirdest damn thing. Like, you can't.
It's crazy.
You can't feel good about what you're picking. Like, you're not allowed. Whatever you think is so is not so.
Can you tell us, what Daniel Jones props did you have? Did you have the
it
over?
It was over rushing yards, okay. 25.5. So see where the number was.
Like, he was at 19 yards.
All right, but keep in mind, he's
but
going
he left
out
at a half,
the
right?
Top of the third quarter, the end of the second quarter. Okay. His yardage was like 234.5 or something passing.
He was at 213 when he left.
Yes.
And you're sitting there the whole time. You're like, I need one more rush. I need one more decent pass play.
No,
that's
Chris.
All I need.
Chris, he is sailing
I'm
along.
Locked. The only thing that finishes me is an injury. I'm watching it and I'm like, okay, the things I thought that were going to happen in this game, those things have indeed happened. Like, I thought I had it nailed. I'm like, yeah. I'm, so Daniel Jones is going to have a nice passing day. He's going to have a nice running day. The Bengals, you know, whatever. The reasoning is simply that Mina Kimes told me it was a good idea to do it. So it's not like I'm sitting there analyzing game tape.
Right. I mean, he was well on his way to covering both. Would have done it in the third quarter, but as you pointed out, got injured, and then Colt McCoy came in.
Okay, but Chris, has that ever happened to you? You're losing so much in so many funny ways that you can't help but just burst out laughing. Like when Pete Rose tells that bad beat story and is talking about he's 5.5 lengths up and a deer comes running out onto the horse track and knocks his jockey off the horse. Like what do you burst out laughing?
I think if you have the proper amount of money on it, like amount of money that doesn't affect your lifestyle, then yes, you probably laugh. I don't imagine Pete Rose was doing that.
It depends, I guess, on the amount of money. Chris, has that ever happened to you?
I'm more in the category of I start crying and dodging texts from my bookie.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.